Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to spend time with on this program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, sin, by definition, is a violation of God's law. Romans 4, verse 15, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. The penalty for sin is death. Death in eternal separation from God. And Romans 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So sin is no small matter. Its grave consequences demands that we take it seriously. Satan's oldest lie is that violating God's law is not so bad. Remember he told Eve in Genesis 3 and verse 4, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. We know Eve believed him. She disobeyed God. And she eternally separated herself from God. Because God said, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And he was not talking about physical death, because Adam lived on to be some 900 years old. But the death that he talked about was the death that brought about by sin, committed of sin, separation from God. So it is then that each of us alone bears the responsibility for our sins. The devil can't make us sin. In fact, James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So see, we sin because and when we choose to. But we dare not deceive ourselves into thinking that the seriousness of sin is not serious, because it is. Sin is always wrong. And it's wrong even if we don't know better. Ignorance does not excuse. The Jews that crucified Jesus did it in ignorance. Peter made this statement in Acts chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. And yet it was still sin, and it required repentance. Because in verse 19 of Acts 3, Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Paul said that the Gentiles were without excuse for their sin, because that what they should have known about God was through his creation. And we read about that in Romans 1 and verse 20. So that being true, how much more are we without excuse when we enjoy the full revelation of God's will in the Scriptures, in the Bible? So you see, it's our obligation to learn what the will of the Lord is. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then we must obey it. For that's what Jesus said in Matthew 7, and verse 21. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Sin is always wrong because it's wrong even if we do it with a clear conscience. You know, conscience is the mental faculty that God gave us to judge our own conduct. But it judges according to our conception of right and wrong. If that conception is not what it ought to be, then our consciences will approve, even though the thing that we're doing is wrong. You know, Paul lived his life with a perfectly good conscience. He said that in Acts 23 and verse 1. However, that included the period in which he persecuted Christians, at which time he described himself later in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 as being the chief of sinners. And yet, he did it with all good conscience. See, though conscience approved Paul, sin was still sin. And also, sin is always wrong, even if it's legal. You know, some folks have the idea that as long as they obey the laws of the land, they're right with God. Certainly, God expects us to submit to the laws of civil rulers. We read this in Romans 13 in the first 7 verses. However, civil law may allow many things that are plain violation of God's laws. Drunkenness, homosexuality, divorce, gambling, abortion, these are just a few of the things that are legal as far as the laws of the land are concerned. And certainly false religion could also be included under this heading. Just because government gives us the right to worship as we please doesn't mean that God gives us the right to worship Him as we please. And also, sin is always wrong, regardless of who approves of it. You know, some are willing to let a church, or they're willing to let a preacher, decide sin for them. If the preacher says it's okay, then it doesn't much matter what the Bible says. But sin is still wrong, even if some preachers, or even if most preachers, say otherwise. But sin is still wrong. Sadly, there are preachers that have a tendency to say what people want to hear instead of simply preaching the truth. In 2 Timothy 4, we see in verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." See, this is why John warned in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Also, sin is still wrong, even if no one gets hurt. You know, there was a popular, and in this day and time, this is a very popular justification for sin. Everything from sexual activity to you name it. If nobody gets hurt, then it's okay. If it's consensual, then it's okay. We constantly hear that about two consenting adults. Whether they want to do it is all, if they want to do it, it's all right because they're consenting and no one gets hurt. Gambling used to have the same rationale. Since all players are consenting to it, no one gets hurt. Friends, sin always hurts its participants. They just don't always have sense enough to know it. And in Numbers 32, verse 23, it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Sin has inherent consequences that come back to haunt us in this life. And as we noticed in the very beginning of our study, it has eternal consequences of the worst sort. And, two, sin is always wrong, even if we don't get caught. Parents do not always see the wrongs that their children do. Teachers miss some of the mischief that goes on in school. The government admittedly catches only a small percentage of criminals. You may be able to hide your sin from your neighbors, your coworkers, even from your spouse, your closest friends, but it's no less wrong. Do you think that you're all right because you've not been caught? Well, God knows. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, "There's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and naked under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Sin is always wrong, even if it's not as bad as what somebody else has done. You know, it is man, not God, that has cataloged sin as big and little. God says in James 2 and verse 9, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point is guilty of all." One sin is all it takes to make a person a sinner. It is man, not God, that sees an offense as inconsequential in view of the enormity of somebody else's guilt. You remember Jesus' story of the Pharisee who thanked God that he was better than other people? We read about that in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. You know, he didn't extort. He wasn't unjust. He didn't commit adultery. But remember what Jesus said? He was lost. Even though he was able to find someone in comparing himself to that he felt like he was better than that other person. So no, sin is still wrong, even if it's not as bad as what somebody else did. And then too, sin is always wrong, even if we're trying to do good. Some folks think that as long as their motives are good, that God will overlook disobedience. You know, sincerity, they think, is all that matters. But sin is still wrong, no matter what your intent. Remember Uzzah? He's a good example. When the Ark of the Covenant nearly fell from the ox cart on which it was being carried, Uzzah reached out his hand to steady it. Surely he meant nothing disrespectful. Nevertheless, he violated God's law by touching that sacred piece of furniture, and God struck him dead for it. We read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And two, sin is always wrong, even if someone else influenced us. When God confronted Eve about her sin, remember what she said? "The serpent deceived me." Genesis 3 and verse 13. Yes, he did. But Eve was still wrong. It was under the influence of Jewish brethren that Peter and Barnabas quit associating with the Gentile Christians at Antioch. We read about that in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 14. Did that make it any less hypocrisy? You know, God knows that people can be influenced to do wrong. That's why he warns us about choosing our associates carefully. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, "Evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil companionship," some translations say, "corrupts good manners." But another's influence in no way changes my disobedience, nor does it lessen my responsibility for it. Friends, I hope that we can see sin is always wrong. Even if we don't know better, even if we do it with a clear conscience, even if it might happen to be legal as far as the laws of the land are concerned, it's still sin regardless of who approves of it. It's still sin even if we can say no one gets hurt. It's still sin if we don't get caught. It's still sin even if it's not as bad as what we can look around and see other people doing. It's still sin even if we're trying to do good. Sincerity doesn't make it right. And it's still sin if it be that someone else has influenced me to do it. Sin is always wrong. We see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.